If you have a look at Hebrews chapter 13, that will be good. My name's Eliafi. I live in Whanganui. For those of you who don't know, those of you who are visiting, we again welcome you. It's great to have you with us. Those who came to the dedication, it's fantastic to have you. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, I'll just read a few verses for you, and then we'll just get into it. Who won the game? The first service did not know for sure who won. England? Who won the Australian game? Did Australia... What was that? You probably think, what a crazy church this church is. Did France or the All Blacks win? All Blacks. Well, that's a pity. I think every now and again we need to kill that God. Hallelujah. Because he keeps reincarnating itself. We have been talking about worship as a church, how you worship. And we said some things about worship that we need to reiterate again, and trust it will not offend any of you, because everybody is a worshiper. Whether you worship in a church or not, there is something in your heart that longs for something outside of yourself. That's why before Samuel Marston came to New Zealand, the people that live in New Zealand then were still worshiping. So he didn't bring worship to New Zealand. He brought Christianity. When Mr. Williams turned up in Samoa, he didn't bring Christianity. He didn't bring worship to Samoa. He brought Christianity, but Samoans were already worshiping. They were worshiping an octopus in some parts and worshiping other things. There is something in the human being, inherent in the human being, that longs to worship, because we are made to worship. And whether you know what you're worshiping or not, you still worship. And the All Blacks has been worshiped in New Zealand for years. We love it when they win. And the mood of the nation goes down when they lose. The only problem with being a All Blacks being a God is every now and again that God is defeated. But we worship a God that is never defeated. He's God forever, and he sits on the throne. And the good thing about him sitting on the throne, you know what? He's staying there. No one's going to dethrone him. So worship is a very broad subject. But when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to the worship of God, Jesus said, the Father looks and seeks for those that worship Him in spirit and truth. And then He said, God is spirit. So you worship a spirit. God is spirit, and we worship Him in spirit and truth. And worship is part of our church. It's part of who we are. It's one of those truths in the Bible that we value as a church. And we said, worship is an attitude, not an act. You can act as though you're worshiping, but if your attitude is not right, just forget it. Worship is a relationship, not an exercise. You can run around in church, you can yahoo and make a lot of noise, but that's not what worship is. Worship is a relationship with God. And when your attitude, when your relationship with God is great, you can worship any way you want to. You can shout or you can be quiet. You can sing or you can whistle. Whatever. But if your heart's not in it, no amount of mechanical doing is going to constitute worship. Because it's not. That's not what it's about. Are you okay? Worship is a response, not a ritual. Are you okay? So in Hebrews 13, we will read from verse 14. It says, For here we have no continuing city. For here, where we are, it's not a continuing thing. You may like Whanganui, but Whanganui is not going to be here forever. We have no continuing city here, whether it's Wellington, Auckland, Whanganui, or Taihape. It's not here forever. It doesn't continue the way it is as you think. So, because we don't have a continuing city on earth, it says, we seek the one to come. Now, many people live here as though they're going to live here forever. Even though your dad died and your granddad died and your mother is going to die and your grandmother had died, we know that we can't live here forever. Yet, we do our lives as though we're going to be here for good. The Bible says, there's no continuing city here. Not Buenos Aires or not London, not Auckland, not Sydney, nothing. Nothing of those cities and nothing of what you think will continue is going to continue. The only city that the Bible tells us to do is we look for one to come. What are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for a husband. You're looking for a city that is to come. Are you okay? And when you understand that, Abraham went out looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Many of us, well, as long as I get all the things, the mechanics that we consume ourselves with are great. But know this, down here, you have no continuing place. And if all your plans are for down here, then I feel very, very sorry for you. You know why? Because everything you amass is going to be destroyed. Gather dust, rusted. For down here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, what is therefore? You know, when you find a therefore in the Bible, you find out what is therefore. And the therefore relates to what we just said. The therefore is because you have no continuing city here, and because you're going to have to look for a city to come, therefore, because there's none here, and because there is one coming, therefore it says, by Him, that is Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Because we have no continuing city, because there is one to come, it says, therefore, we do something continuously. We give thanks continuously. Why? Because there's nothing here to continue, but we can continue to give Him thanks because there's one to come. Are you okay? Hello. Now, it's amazing when you give thanks. Because it doesn't matter how much you've got. You can have 4 cars and 15 houses. If you don't give thanks, you'll be the most grumpiest person, even though you've amassed all this stuff. And it's just stuff. You can amass all that. If you're not thankful, you will never appreciate what you've got. Now the Bible says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That means there is stuff in you. All right? There's stuff in you. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. You may say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, bless your darling heart and stupid head. Because you worship, you know in your heart that there's a God. Why? God has put eternity in your heart. Whether you read the Bible or not, there is still something in your heart that God put there, and it's called eternity. You can't run away from it because God has put eternity in your heart. And it'll take you more faith to say, I don't believe in God. But bless your darling heart. You can't run away. Even yourself will testify against what you say. Hello? The Bible says all good things come down from the Father of light. All good things. All, everything that has happened to you did not come from down there. It came down from. Now, whether you knew that or not, it's not the problem. It still came down, and God still blessed you because God loved you. God loved you when He created you, and God loved you when you fell into sin, and God loved you that He gave His only begotten Son to cancel your sin. God still loves you. Whether you believe Him or not, He still loves you. And everything you got came down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's not because you're clever. Hallelujah. So he says, therefore, we give God thanks. Now, when you give thanks, it doesn't matter whether you have 15 million bucks or 15 cents. When you give thanks, something of life bubbles up. Why? Because a thankful attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. We go into a room in Honolulu in a hotel, and it was not very nice. And everybody, go and get change your room. Tell them that you need another room. And my wife said, we're going. I said, no, we'll live here. I said, the stable where Christ was born is nowhere near as nice as this place. Now, the moment our attitude to the room changed, we lived in that room for 15 days. It became our home. I don't care if you've got a beautiful house. If your attitude stinks, your whole house stinks. I don't care if you live in a tent. If your attitude's right, the whole tent lights up. Why? Because it's an attitude of gratitude. And when you give thanks, it's amazing how things change. Your perspective change. Even a half empty cup is now half full. It's still the same cup, still half. But to you, it's half full. The other, it's emptying. It's filling up. Attitude. Hallelujah. Tom Marshall, some of you will know him, some of you don't. It's just a name to some of you. But some of you Christians who are a bit older, like Mr. Meelings and Mr. Solid. Tom Marshall lived in Kapiti Coast. Great man of faith, great Christian, a great counselor. And this is what he said. He said, many people come to my office. They need counsel. And many of them are Christians. And he had a counseling technique that I think will be great if you can just practice. People come to him, depressed, men, women, couples. And then he'll sit there and say, tell me, how did you come to know the Lord? And then they'll tell him about how terrible it was before they knew Jesus. And he said, you can begin to see their journey. And they were encroaching more and more onto God until they connected with God. And their face just changes. Their countenance changed. And things begin to happen. And then they tell you the glorious things that God has done in their lives. And everything's fantastic when they met God. And then after that, he said, so tell me why you came to see me. And he said, 99% of the time, he said, oh, nothing. I'm sorry to take up your time. And why? What he did was that he got them to change their attitude from being a terrible attitude to an attitude of gratitude. And when they came to that, they began to, their whole problems dissolved. They said, well, I'm sorry to take up your time. I'm going home now. What happened? They began to do what the Bible says. Because we have no continuing city here. Because when you get your new car, it's still going to age tomorrow. Because when you build, and I'm not saying you shouldn't get a new car. Get one. But it's not going to continue. Get a new house, but it's not going to be there forever. But one thing you can do, you can continuously give God thanks. And when you do, because if you don't, I don't care how much you got in the bank, it's still not enough. But when you give thanks, I don't care if you've got a bank account or not, everything's enough. Are you okay? Hallelujah. It's only 20 past 11. I've got to preach till 12. Verse 16. I haven't even started my message. I'm just going through this to get to the message. Are you okay? You say, that's going to be a long day. Well, I might not get you to church again. So while you're here, I'll talk to you. Verse 16. But do not forget to do good and share. Do not forget to do good and share. To do good and share. Huh? To do good and share. Many people said, do me good and share with me. No, do good and share. And then it says, for with such sacrifices. So we've got three sacrifices now. It's thanksgiving and doing good and sharing. You never thought those were sacrifices. He said, well, doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now some people never share. They want others to share with them. And when they do share, they say this. Just me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four and no more. But when you share, when you do good, and the Bible says Jesus went around doing good and doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Doing good. Many people want to go, well, I'm here to heal you. Well, bless your darling heart. Just do something good. Because doing good leads to doing something miraculous, doing good and healing those that were oppressed of the devil. And people want healing, but they don't want to do good. When you do good, it'll just extend itself to touching somebody else with the healing glory and the power of God. You don't ever know that even coming into somebody coming into your presence may be healing to them. And even baking a cake for somebody may be healing to them. Hallelujah. It says, doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now you know, it's just a simple thing. Just do good. Just be an agent of healing. Doing good. Hallelujah. Verse 17 is one of those verses you need to rip out of the Bible. It says, obey those. How many children want to obey their parents? Many children think that their parents is an extension of the Antichrist. But it says, obey those who rule. And we don't like that because we live in a democracy. We have got laws against people ruling over others. But the Bible says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. There's another dirty word. Obedience and submission are dirty words today. Hallelujah. Just be thankful that your head is submitted to your shoulders. If they weren't, you'd be dead. Your arm is submitted to... Hello? Your elbow submitted to your arm. Submission is life. Why did God tell us to submit? It's life. Try not to submit and you're dead. Hallelujah. And all these dirty words are needed. You need to obey. You need to submit. And then he says, for they watch over you, watch out for your souls at those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable. So not submitting and not obeying is unprofitable. And many people want to profit. Many people go into business, want to profit. The business is not profiting. You don't want it. I want the business to profit. Well, obedience and submission profit. Hello? How many people don't ever want to make a profit? Anybody? Well, that's dense if you don't. Because everybody wants to make a profit. Whether it's coming to church, or in a business, or at work, or at school. Now, when you go to school, you love to get an A, and you love to pass. But you don't listen to the teacher, and you don't submit to the school laws. We have a kid here many years back, and he wore an earring. Now, it's against school policy to wear an earring in our school. And the parent said, well, that's what he does at home. I wear an earring, he wears an earring, he wears it at school. Not at this school. You may do that at home, but, and I said to tell him to take the thing off. You probably think, what? Hello? There are rules anywhere you go. Well, I don't live by law, I live by grace. Hello? That's not greasy grace where you do anything. If you do that, it'll be anarchy in the nation. You submit, you obey those that rule over you. So worship. Now we're coming, the introduction now is finished. All right. This is the message. And I'll just make a few points. And then we can go home. Giving thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. And giving thanks and worshiping with an attitude that is thankful is the natural response that you will respond when you understand the cross of Jesus Christ. When you really understand what God has done for you, there is nothing left but gratitude. And when you understand what Christ has done, what God had gone through, and when you see that for what it is, there is nothing left in your heart but a humility of gratitude. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. When you understand what the Prince of Glory died, not the pauper, not somebody, it's the Prince of Glory. When you understand what Christ has done, when I remember what He's done for me, I'll never turn back. And people still turn back because they forget what Christ has done. Don't forget His benefits. Hallelujah. If the whole realm of nature be mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine. That kind of love that demands us to respond with gratitude when we know what Christ has done and understand the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Many years ago, Dr. Stephen Alford, young man, very, 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 very smart. Stephen Alford was born in Zambia, the son of missionaries Frederick and Bessie Alford. Stephen was a very clever and intelligent young man. He studied overseas and wanted to pursue an engineering career and not God. He was as far away from God as the East is from the West. He was clever, educated, PhD, engineer. And all this time, his father has been praying for him. Frederick got sick. And the doctor diagnosed him and said to him, young man, you're going to die. Let me encourage you today, whether you're sick or not, you're going to die. One fact is for sure. I don't care if you got cancer now or not. You may be the most healthiest person in this congregation, but you're going to die. Now, the doctor said to him, young man, you're going to die. Received a letter from his father about the same time. Father been praying for him all this time, asking God to touch his son. And the letter said this, it's but one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for God will last. But one life and will soon be passed. Only what's done for God will last. And Stephen got so convicted by the power of the Spirit of God, he knelt down and cried out to God, said, God, anytime, anywhere, any cost. He dedicated his life. He committed his life to God because he understood something. And he said to God, God, anywhere you want me, anytime, any cost. When I survey a wondrous cross, when you understand what it cost God for your redemption, my richest gain, I count but loss for contempt and all my pride. And thanksgiving is a response of someone who understands the cross of Jesus Christ. I shared with you some time back, I think I shared with you more than once. Now, many years ago, how many know you weren't born very nice? And before I got saved, there was a time when I was not saved. And I used to drink. I used to drink bourbon, Kentucky bourbon. That's Jim Beam whiskey. I used to drink Bacardi rum. I used to drink Pimm's. I used to drink Scottish whiskey. And I used to drink booze. When I had a bad throat, it'll be cured by what I drink. Rum and ginger wine. I wasn't always a pastor. I remember in a house in New Brighton, in Christchurch, we were having a party. We were drinking. Everybody was drunk. And somebody spoiled the party. Somebody put a record on of a hymn. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And they played that song. And there was silence. I mean, all these are a bunch of heathens. They don't even go to church. They don't even pray. I was the only one that prayed because I was a Sunday school teacher and still drinking. Just because you're a Sunday school teacher does not mean that you're going to heaven. That Sunday school teacher, if it died then, will not come down to heaven. But he went to church. Big difference between going to church and getting connected with God. But some ding-dong put this record on. and it's sung, and that song just came through, and it didn't just go into your ears, it went into your heart. And everybody, all these cursing, swearing guys and their wives, shut up, and they listened to the song. And when we read the song, and the one that recorded the song, we discovered it was sung by a Scottish prostitute who found Christ. And out of her brokenness sang this song. The hill far away stood an old rugged cross, emblem of suffering and dying. And when she sang it, her whole soul and heart came through the song. Everybody that was drunk was sober immediately. Why? Because somehow that woman understood what it is to be forgiven. She understood the cross and sang about that cross, and her soul and heart came through the song. And all this drunken party was silenced. Hello? Thanksgiving is a response of one's heart to the cross of Jesus Christ. Moses saw a picture of that cross. He saw it by faith. And Moses was the prince of Egypt. He was going to be the next Pharaoh. And if you say, Moses, there's your throne, your diadem, your wine is coming, your caviar, your generals are coming, your cabinet is turning up, and there's your kingdom. You know what he said? Sorry. No go. What do you mean? Is there something better? Moses chose to be a slave. Now, how can a man choose slavery to this? The Bible says he chose to suffer for Christ because to him, slavery for Jesus was a greater treasure than all the wealth of Egypt. Moses instituted the Passover because he saw a revelation of it in God. Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Thanksgiving is a response of the condemned to pardon. When you're condemned and you're pardoned, there is nothing in your heart but gratitude. You can be overwhelmed with difficulties, or you can be overwhelmed with kindness. Whatever you're overwhelmed with, when you're overwhelmed, you can't talk. Paul said, there's a time when I pray, I'm overwhelmed with problems. I don't even know how to pray. And if anybody knew how to pray, it's Paul. But he said, there is a time when my heart can be so overwhelmed, I can't even talk. I can't even pray. David discovered the same thing. David said, hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And sometimes your prayer and your cry, you can't distinguish the two. He said, hear my cry, O Lord. Attend to my prayer. Now sometimes things that are problematic, your problem can be so overwhelming, you can't even talk. You just, oh. Or you can be so overwhelmed with joy that you're silenced from saying anything. You just bow your head, because in the midst of everything going wrong, God turned up and say, I'm your shield. And all you have to say is, thou, O Lord, are a shield to me, my glory, and the one that lifts up my head. And when your head is lifted up by the glory of God. You know what you do? You bow it again in gratitude. It's a response of those that are guilty, those who are condemned, to pardon. And when you're condemned and you're pardoned, there's nothing else you can do but give thanks. Are you okay? The old prophet said, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. Why do you come with singing? Because you're pardoned. And you can be accused by the accuser of the brethren, or you can accuse yourself to yourself. Sometimes the devil don't have to accuse you. You already accuse yourself. I'm never good enough. No one is good enough. No one. But when you understand that you're pardoned, are you okay? You respond with gratitude of heart. Hallelujah. The devil may accuse you, and Jesus comes along and said, he probably will save the devil. I'm not saying he's not guilty. But whatever the guilt is pardoned. Canceled. When you know that, understand that. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is a response of the bound to being delivered. You're bound, but you're set free. When you're set free. Many years back, people will go to war and they'll have prisoners of war and they'll be slaves. And there comes a year of Jubilee when all slaves are going to be released. They're free to go. But there are slaves who, when they're told to go, said, I don't want to go. I want to be a slave forever. I love my master so much. He's been so kind to me. I'd rather be a slave to him than have my freedom. So the master will put him against a pole and take the lobe of his ear and stab it with an awl, with a dart. And when he did that, he put his mark in the ear. Put a ring in the ear. And he tells everybody, this man does not belong to himself. He belongs to somebody else. You know what the Bible says? You are paid with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to somebody else. Unfortunately, in our kind of Christianity today, Jesus, we just add Jesus as pepper we add to a soup. We are still a soup. We still own the soup. We still run our lives. But we want Christ's heaven. Gratitude is a response of the one that has been bound, the one that has been a slave, responding in gratitude. Rather be a slave for him and be the king of Egypt. Songwriter said, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in his place. But Jesus, God's Son, the Prince of Glory, took my place. When you know that, you can't help but give thanks. You may be here today. You've never known that. You don't go to church, or maybe you do go to church. Like me, I went to church, but guess where I was going? After church, I was heading straight to hell if I died that day. Everyone wants to go to heaven. And everyone in their the day of their funeral, they, you know, the loved ones said, "Well, he's going to heaven." Well, unfortunately, it's not your heaven. It's God's heaven. And there is a passport to heaven, just like you can't just enter Australia without a passport. You can't enter any country without a passport. Heaven is a country, the Bible says. That's what Abraham was looking for. He's not only looking for a city, he's looking for a country. You don't just go to heaven just to get out of hell. And you don't just connect with Christ just because you, "Oh, I don't want to go to hell." You connect with Christ because you know what he's done. I remember many years ago, a man preached in Martin. And his theme was 10 shekels and a shirt. There are people who will just live for 10 shekels and a shirt. Now, you can explain that because 10 shekels and a shirt is a huge. At that time, that was huge. In our content today, it's everything you wanted in your life, 10 shekels and a shirt. That man preaching that day said, "I'll live for Christ the rest of my life, even if I die and go to hell." Now, that's a bold statement. Even if I die and go to hell, I'll still live for Christ because I know what he's done for me. I ain't going to live for 10 shekels in a shirt. I'm going to live for him. You might never have another opportunity to give your life to Jesus, but Christ has died for you. The price is already paid. Heaven is open. Life abundance is open. Now, life abundance, I wish I could have time to speak to you about abundant life. It's nothing to do with our pursuit of wealth. You can have everything you want and more to give away and still live a miserable, defeated life. When you study statistics, the profession that commits suicide more than any other professions are psychiatrists. In the whole world, psychiatrists commit suicide more than accountants, than doctors, than teachers, than any other profession. And you say, why? They're supposed to be the one that have the answer. You can be a psychiatrist, but you need a psychiatrist. Why? Because abundant life has nothing to do with possessions. Abundant life has to do with knowing somebody. And Christ said, "I came to give you life. Life more abundantly." If you're here today and you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, it is a fantastic day to give your life to the Lord. Giving your life to the Lord is so simple, it's difficult. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just need to call out to the name of the Lord. Just call out to God. You do your part, God will do his part. A lot of people are trying to do God's part. It's like a couple that the husband read the Bible and he reads what he shouldn't read. He reads what's written to his wife. His wife reads what's written to her husband. They read the wrong passage. They should read what's written to them. You do your part, God will do his part. Building the church for God is not hard, but we have to know what we do. Christ said, "I'll build my church." And then he says, "You go make disciples." You and I make disciples. Christ builds the church. We don't build the church. We make disciples. Our part in the building is making disciples. His part is building. If we do our part, he'll do his part. In getting saved, you have to do your part. Giving your life to God and living this life knowing him, you have to do your part. God guarantees he'll do his part. Bow your head with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. You don't have to shout the prayer, but if you need to pray this prayer, to connect your heart with God, you can pray it. And say, Lord, this is who I am, and this is my prayer. I'm going to pray. You can pray this prayer too, if you need to pray. Hallelujah. It's a prayer of invitation that God will come into your life. Might never have another chance to do it. It's a great day to connect with God right now. So let's pray. You can just follow my prayer if you need to pray. Like I said, you don't have to shout it out. You can pray it under your breath. But you need to do it. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I recognize my own need. I'm a sinner and in need of forgiveness. I call upon your name. Come into my life. Live in my heart. Cleanse me from sin. And help me to live for you the rest of my life. Help me to prioritize things. To see things as they are. And live with an understanding that there is nothing continuous in this world but my thanksgiving to you. I give you thanks today. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.